Our gospel lesson this morning comes from the gospel according to Matthew, the 13th chapter, verses 1 through 8. This is a parable of Jesus. You heard just part of it just then with the kids. It's a parable that you'll find in both Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And they're a little bit different, each version, but the story is the same. And I encourage you to read all versions of this. This, again, is Matthew's version of the story. And as you hear these words, how are these words speaking to you today, this particular point on your journey of faith? That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat, and he sat there while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell on a path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth, the meditations of all our hearts, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. All right, you know, around here, we talk a lot about faith. And we talk about it in this room, or in Sunday schools, wherever we talk about faith. We talk about being the body of Christ. We revel in that identity. We have it posted at different places in our facility here. We are the body of Christ. But my question is, how often do we pause to think about what the implications are of what we profess? What does it mean? What does it mean when you say you are the body of Christ? Literally, what does it mean? What does it mean to the world and to our lives? In other words, what are we doing when we live out our faith? All right. Well, let me tell you, I experienced it again yesterday. Yesterday morning, and I know I didn't coin this term. Again, I'm not bright enough to coin terms like this, but I call it sacred impingement. Sacred impingement. I was here with you yesterday morning, gathered in the fellowship hall, and I had this strong sense of sacred impingement, encroachment of the divine into my life as you literally packaged thousands and thousands and thousands of meals for Rise Against Hunger. Meals that will travel around the world and we were told yesterday these particular meals were going to the Philippines. People you'll never meet. That's okay, they're your brothers and sisters. Sacred impingement is when worlds collide, when the sacred and the secular encroach upon each other. Worlds we try to keep separate the best we can. And when this happens, we become one. We become one. And that's what it's really all about, right? That's the point of religion in our lives, where the two realms that we normally keep apart, sacred and secular, become one. The scriptures attest to this. You know, we from the beginning of our scriptural tradition to the end, the idea is somehow we've become disconnected. And we need to reconnect. You know, the religament, from which we get the word religion, to reconnect. That's what we do. That's what we believe. Well, I came to the packaging event yesterday because I know in my heart of heart, that periodically I need to pause from my day-to-day life of self-absorption and do good in this world. I need to do that. I know that somehow when I help another, my soul is strengthened. My soul is strengthened. That somehow the distance that separates me from my brothers and sisters in Haiti or East Africa or the Philippines or wherever is diminished when I act as part of the body of Christ. The words of Jesus become real. Listen to this. When you did it to the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you did it to me. Those words become alive for me again. As we packaged meals yesterday, and everything collapses in upon itself in some sort of implosion of grace. It's beautiful. It happens when the community comes together and acts together in the name of Christ. Do you remember the story of the walk to Emmaus? At the end of the Gospel of Luke. Well, it's Easter Sunday. disciples are leaving Jerusalem. They're all distraught. They're walking along. All of a sudden, they're joined by a stranger. They have no idea who this guy is. It's Jesus, we know, but they don't. And they're walking, they're talking to each other. And then all of a sudden, at the end of the walk, as they act together in the sacrament, they realize something. Now, let me just read it. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us?" Then they told what had happened on the road. Now he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. The road, the path, the way, that's what we're on together. Sacred impingement. Okay, Jesus said, a sower went out to sow, right? A sower went out to sow his seed. And you know, I can picture Jesus going like this, you know, throwing his hands like this. He said, can you see that? What does that mean? And then again, we tell us the parable. Jesus, after telling the parable, says, do you understand this? Do you understand what this means, what I'm talking about? Can you see it? Do you see the way the kingdom of God works? Okay, the listeners, everyone who heard Jesus speak that day knew about sowing. They had to. Their lives were dependent upon it. They knew about that. Everybody knew how to sow. It was very simple. You went out and you started slinging seed everywhere. You know, every possible direction, knowing that a lot of it would go to waste. It would land somewhere. It was not going to take root. But you also knew that enough was going to take root that your life would be sustained. It was fundamentally about coverage. That's what you're doing, coverage. Jesus said, do you understand that? Do you understand what I'm saying? The problem wasn't that the folks there that day gathered on the shore. The problem was not the folks didn't know how to sow, and so Jesus is telling them how to sow. No. No, the problem was they did know how to sow. And they were deciding, struggling with whether or not to sow. Am I going to do this? Sow or not to sow. She threw seed everywhere she possibly could throw it. And it landed everywhere. That's the way the kingdom of God is. That's the way it works. It's chaos. If you were here yesterday, you saw seed everywhere. There was rice in every square inch of that room next door. It was incredible. We were slinging, we're throwing bags, we're laughing. It was incredible. The kingdom of God is neither neat nor precise. No, it has no guidelines. It knows no bounds. It is excessively generous in nature. Friends, we're sowers of the kingdom. That's what we do. We sow God's grace with reckless generosity. That's what we do. It's what lies at the heart of our mission as a church. That's what we do here. And somehow, counterintuitively, in so doing, we fight incredible depth of life. It makes no sense. But we see it over and over again. We experience sacred impingement. The sacred encroaching onto our souls. In other words, in giving our lives away, we find it. It makes no sense. Were you here yesterday? Let me see. How many people were here yesterday? A lot of you. Thank you. Over 100 people. We had to limit it. You know, we committed much more, but sorry. Incredible. Friends, today is our annual commitment Sunday. If you've been here a year, you kind of know how we do this. In a few minutes, we will come forward, and in the closing hymn, we'll bring our gift and graces card somewhere around here, this thing that we've filled out. We'll bring it forward, and we'll place it in that basket right there. You know, our financial commitment, our finances, the commitment of our time and our talents. And then today and in the days ahead, we will attempt to live into our calling as members of the body of Christ. And this is just a sign act of that commitment, just a way we participate in it. And we're saying, at this point in my life, I am placing my stake in ministry here at Pleasant Grove. This is where my faith commitment is going to be lived out among the community called Pleasant Grove. This is where God is going to use me to transform the world into the image of Christ. This is big. This is a very big day. In essence, we're saying, here's my stake. Here is my stake in this ministry, my part. Use these gifts to complete the ministries to which we have been called as a body of Christ here. Okay, I was trying to calculate it exactly, but at best I come up, it was about 28,000 years ago, give or take a few days, give or take either way. Our ancestors came up with an ingenious idea. It's called rope. Rope. They thought, what if we take some relatively weak individual fibers and say wool. Let's take wool, for instance. And then we twist these fibers together to form some sort of substantial cord that we can use to make our life easier. How about that? We'll take something that is in its singularity, is insignificant, right? And we will make a composite that will prove to be most significant indeed. The early iterations of rope were all the same type, laid or twisted rope. And it was what most of us think of when we use the noun rope. Some of you may remember this. Some of you old folks, do you remember in your gymnasium, in your school growing up, did you have a rope that hung from the roof? Some of you did. I did not. I'm too young. But it hung from the ceiling. It was about yay big. And what did it taunted you. It taunted you to do what? To climb it. It was always like one kid that could do it. And we all booed them when they got to the top, you know, and they rang the bell or whatever was up there. But anyway, you know what a rope is. It's amazing stuff. It's incredibly strong. And the idea behind rope is a very simple one. That it's incredibly simple in the sense that it's insightful that somehow this simple idea fulfilled an engineering void in our lives 28,000 years ago, but also gave us a social model that we can emulate, right? Namely, allowing something comprised of multiple parts, right, to share a single load that would be too difficult for anyone by themselves, right? It would never get done. It'd be impossible to do individually, but not for the body of Christ. No. Together we pool our resources and our time and our talents with the body of Christ, right? Okay, central to our belief system here at this community is this theological concept of giving. We believe that in order to be a complete person, in order to be in a right relationship with God, in order to be in a right and healthy relationship with others, our fellow human beings, we have to give and give generously. We have to give because if we choose not to give, if we choose rather to hoard, then we begin a process of spiritual implosion. We fall in upon ourselves, right? Eventually, darkness envelops us. Have you seen A Christmas Carol? Remember Charles Dickens? Remember Ebenezer? Okay, just hold that thought. We believe that giving is a spiritual discipline that makes life life. It's impossible to hoard your stuff, to be stingy, as we used to say as kids, and experience genuine and abundant life. You can't do it. It's impossible. As kids, we used to call it sharing. Have you ever heard of sharing, that idea? Yeah, of course you. Of course you have. And generosity is a virtue we attempt to instill in our children. We want our children to share. We want our children to be generous. We don't say, oh, that's great. He's a little hoarder. No, we don't do that. No, well done. Well done. He's sharing his toys. She's sharing her toys. It really is something. Now, I don't want to go into the whole stewardship concept with you again about you don't own anything. I just remembered a story this morning, and it was about a pastor who preached a sermon on stewardship, and you know, you're just a manager, you're not an owner. And after the sermon, this wealthy individual takes him outside, the pastor outside, says, look at all this land. You're trying to tell me all this land that I have in my name is not mine? And the pastor said, well, just ask me again in 100 years. All right. Well, we're not going to talk about that. We're not going to talk about the idea of stewardship. No, we've talked about that. There are two things that we control primarily in our lives, and they fall into two realms, stuff and time, right? And so in order for this community, for any community, to survive and to thrive, it is incumbent upon all of its members, to give both generously. Read through the narrative budget. It's in the pew notebooks. We passed it out last week. You'll get a kind of idea of all that goes on in this place. We broke down. We put the budget at the top. This is the current year budget, which ends in just a couple months at the end of June. And we showed pictures of things you do, and we talked about what your generosity funds here as far as ministry goes. There's a lot going on around here. And again, if you feel coerced into giving by this church, if you feel that this church is after your money, if you feel this church is shaking you down, then you're at the wrong church. you're at the wrong church. Because if you feel that way, then we've done you a great disservice. We have not been faithful to our call to share the community of faith with you. And for that, I apologize. In a faithful and fruitful congregation, one gives because one needs to give for the sake of their spiritual well-being and for the sake of a gospel narrative characterized by generosity. Yesterday, at Rise Against Hunger, I had an epiphany. It's Easter season. I don't know what I was doing. I had an epiphany. Out of season. As I looked around that room, and I saw people of all ages from all the different services from the neighborhood, and I saw people laughing and you know, cutting up and just doing good things, I knew exactly what Jesus meant when he said these words. When you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Sacred impingement. And it's this sacred impingement that draws us to this place week after week after week and leads us to support the work of the kingdom of God in this place through this community, through our generous offering of our time, our talents, and our treasure. The gospel's messy. You know, everywhere. It goes everywhere. But it's also incredibly beautiful because just where you least expect it, it'll take root and it will grow and it will produce abundantly. So whether this is your first Sunday here or you've been here 50 years, we would love you to come and sow with us for this new year. The new year begins July 1. Behold, a sower went out to sow. Thanks be to God. Amen.